Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 751. If you'd like to have a copy of it, of 751, program 751, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Just let us know whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're free, including postage and handling. You know, just how many things in this world today are free? To see the sun, the moon, the stars, that's free. And to, if you can go to the beach, that's not free. You're going to have to pay around $4 and something per gallon to get there. But the Word of God is the most important thing in the world, and it's absolutely given to us free of charge by the Lord. And therefore, I don't charge for it. Anyone that receives the Word of God from the Lord that would charge for it, I just don't understand that. But we have, I've got some, a real powerful message from the book of Luke. We're continuing on, and I've got some music and some letters. But right now, let's pray that God, Lord, Father God, that you will continue anointing me on these messages, because it's obvious to see that the things that you're talking through me to the general public and to your body, those of the people that really are your body that are listening, they're winning souls and strengthening the church. Lord, I pray that you heal those that are sick and afflicted, that you give finances to those of your children. I'm talking about those that are born again of the Spirit. Those are your real children. And Lord, that you'll rebuke Satan for against all attacks of Satan, every kind. Heal disease, sickness, infirmities. Cast out devils, Lord, that people are possessed with the devil. And those that are about to perish, Lord, let the gospel be preached to them. Let them hear it and receive it. And let them be healed. If they're going to continue, if they'll learn your word and get the gospel out to people, Lord, don't let them die, heal them. But if they don't want to do what you command them to do, well then, Lord, let them be saved and then take them out before it's too late, before they backslide, like so many of the people that call themselves Christians today. Lord, there are churches filled with these kind of people that don't realize, they think they're full of faith, but like disciples that people thought were disciples, and they really were, with the exception of one, they fell away from Jesus after you were crucified. So you told them to take a wallet and to take money with them, because they walked without that before, and get a sword for protection, because there's no protection from you. When people doubt, there's no protection from you, and they have to get jobs, they have to go to work, they have to do everything. And of course, we all have to work as well, or we don't eat. But Father, we ask that you get to the core of where people are and bring them up in the Spirit so that they can finally realize that they really don't have the faith it takes to be able to see something go wrong in Christians' lives and still remain standing. So many people are offended at you, Lord, that they, like John the Baptist, like when they have to go through some persecution, they start wavering and they wonder if you're really God. You are God. And Lord, you warned us of these times that we're living in today. And Lord, we really need to have real faith. So many people that are Christians use the church for a place of fellowship and to meet and talk and just gab and shoot the breeze. Well, Lord, you want everybody to know that that isn't what it's all about. You died on the cross, and you want everybody else to carry a cross, to take up the cross, deny themselves, and follow you. And you tell us not to love the world because the world is not of you. All those that love the world are of the world. They are not of you. They're not of God. So we're commanded to not love, to love not the world, because all that is in the world is of the flesh, lust, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Lord, every demonic way that people are being bothered by Satan, Lord, to remove it from them as far as the east is from the west. Hallelujah. And Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name. That, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now here's a recording that I just did with the Czech Republic, the Czechoslovakian Republic Orchestra. We have also H.B. Barnum's choir, which is the live choir, and the Hollywood choir. This is a symphony orchestra, the Prague Symphony Orchestra, and it's called No Man Is an Island. The arrangement was by H.B. Barnum. He conducted, and I believe you'll like it. Go ahead. No Man Is an Island.
You know, in these last days, many people think that they can conduct their lives the way that they want to. But really, no man, I mean no man, no man can stand alone. We need the Lord. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. No man is an island. No man can stand alone. He needs faith as his guide to lead him to his throne. No man is an island. Wealth untold, but without peace of mind, what good is all his gold? A while ago, my world was a stormy sea. I learned to pray, and his hand reached out to me. Can't you see? No man is an island. No man can stand alone. So have faith and you'll find the love that can't grow.
These are the very last days. Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again. We need to know that we can't do this alone. We need the Word of God. We need Jesus for our God. Remember that all the days of your life.
A while ago, a stormy sea, I learned to pray, and his hand reached out to me. Can't you see? No man is an island. No man can stand alone. His hand, and you'll never
that's fully mastered now. And that's the way it'll be, and it's going to be for the rest of the duration of the time that anyone plays it. And, okay, now we're in what chapter in Luke?
22.
And I'm going back a verse or two here, because the Lord here in verse 36 is saying, because he was telling people, his disciples, that he was going to have to die, and that he was going to be raised from the dead on the third day. But they all thought, yeah, we'll never deny you, Peter said. Everybody's just full of faith. There's no problem whatsoever. But Jesus is telling them before the cock crows that the apostle Peter would deny him three times. So that's the way it is, folks. And then a lot of people never recover from that. Jesus told him that whenever he is converted, then he said that he wanted him to feed the rest of the sheep. Now, the most important feed that there is in the world is the Word of God. There isn't anything more important for people to get into their system, to eat, or to hunger and thirst for that which is the righteous Word of God in them, so that they know that they'll have this tremendous amount of faith that people need in order to stand, especially in these last days. These last days are the worst time of all. The Bible plainly states that we're living in the most perilous times of all, because people are lovers of their own selves, and the most dangerous time of all. Lovers of their own selves, because, you know, people will sell you down the drain, whether you're right, especially if you're right. If they can get out of going to prison, or if they'll get out of prison, or if they'll get some kind of compensation, monetarial from the government, or some kind of favors from the government, just like Judas realized that he would get so many pieces of silver. But after he betrayed the Lord, and he was crucified, well, he went and hung himself, and his bowels burst out of his body. And, of course, his spirit is in hell now. His soul, his entire soul is in hell. And he's going to be slung into the lake of fire, because what he did is he betrayed the actual person who created everything in the heavens and in the earth. He betrayed God. How do you betray God? How can anybody be so wicked as to betray God? Now the Lord said he went away to send his spirit into many other people's bodies. And so when you're betraying one of the Lord's people, we're now sons of God. If we have the Spirit of God in us, if we have Christ in us, if we have the Father, if we have the Holy Spirit in us, then we're sons of God. And people by the dozens have betrayed myself and many, many, many others besides myself. I'm just going by my own experience and what I've heard about others that have been betrayed by people that were former Christians. And yet you've got the Baptist cult and the other cults like that, and especially the Catholic cult, the world's most dangerous cult, the homosexual cult, and the child molesting cult. They believe that once saved, always saved. All you got to do, even the Catholics, well, they get a little bit more scriptural than the Baptists. They say, well, you know, you could go to hell. They tell you that. If you don't pay them enough money, and so on and so on. They're just full of malarkey. Malarkey. Okay. Blarney. But the Bible doesn't say things like that. It tells the truth. The Word of God is the truth. The way, the truth, and the life is Jesus. So Jesus is telling these supposed to be filled to the hilt with the spirit of faith. He's telling them, no, you're not. As a matter of fact, you're all going to run like a bunch of deer when you see me crucified, because I've been telling you that I'm the Lord of glory, I created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof, and here you're going to see me crucified. And you're going to lose faith completely for 3 days and 3 nights. Of course, when you see me resurrected from the dead, the faith will come back. But in the meantime, you're going to deny me, Peter, 3 times. Here it goes, so verse 36. Then Jesus said he unto them, but now, he said, I told you to go out with your wallet and your money and your staff and 2 coats and without shoes and all that. But now, Jesus said that you that have a purse or a wallet, let him take it. Make sure you take it with you. You're going to need some money. You never needed money before when you were walking under the anointing of the Spirit, because people would understand that you're of the Lord because they could feel the Holy Spirit and you were preaching the truth to them, and it gave them happiness and gladness. And it gave them, they could feel their soul, their spirit being fed. So they that have a purse, you that have a purse, don't keep it at home anymore. Take it with you. You're going to need the loot. And likewise, his script, the money, that goes in the purse, the bag, the wallet. And he that has no sword, because you're going to lose complete faith that you don't need sword or carnal weapons whatsoever. And those that have no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one, because you're not going to be feeling comfortable without a sword. Verse 37, for I, Jesus, say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the, this is, he's saying this in the scripture in the Old Testament, and he was reckoned among the transgressors, the sinners, the Gentiles, the nations, and also the ungodly Jews. For the things concerning me have an end. In other words, I'm already put to death, and then I'm going to ascend into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 38, and they, the disciples, said, Lord, behold, here are 2 swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. And it's enough. What does that mean? 1 minute he's telling them to get the sword. Then he says, you got 2 swords. Sell your garments and get a sword. And those 2 swords is enough, because it's only going to be for 3 days that they're going to lose this faith. They're going to hide. They're going to be shivering. They're going to get into beads of cold sweat behind the door, because they don't want their mousy skin or flesh to be hurt or put to death like Jesus. They're going to see Jesus put to death. So Jesus said, okay, 2 swords is enough. You're going to have real faith after you see me raised from the dead. Though we, our hearts are just like shivering and shaking. How about yours out there? Verse 39. And he came out and went, and Jesus came out and went. He was mocked to the Mount of Olives, where he camped out, and his disciples also followed him. Verse 40, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Don't be tempted to doubt. Because just because things, you look at things on the outward appearance, you know, the entire world government is against me. But don't fall into temptation to think just because they're huffing and puffing on television that that's going to do anything to my faith. Because the Lord has put me through some fire. I'm quite a bit like, spiritually, I'm quite a bit like gold tried in the fire. and I'm going to heaven, and I thank and praise the Lord for letting me know that. Verse 41. And Jesus was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, as far as you can throw a stone, and kneeled down and prayed. Verse 42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. The Bible says that Jesus despised the shame of the cross. They're going to strip him naked and hang him up, you know, in front of everybody. This is the Roman Catholic way. They were Roman soldiers that did that. Nevertheless, don't let it be my will, Father, but thy will be done. I'll go through this embarrassing, shameful, disgusting, the shame of the cross. And we all have to carry the cross, and we cannot be concerned about the shame of it. People from the different recording studios and the movie studios saw me distributing literature on the street. I didn't want to do it because it seemed a shameful thing for me to do. But the woman that God gave me, she was the most godly woman. She says, you have to do it because the Lord says you have to do it. You have to move into this $60 a month shack. It didn't even have a floor in it. Some hippies had lived in there before. Yeah, there were all these weird green snakes on the wall. No floor at all. It was just dirt. And it was, Susie said, we'll store our furniture in there. And she says, we might have to move into a bad place. I says, I'll never move into a bad place. Susie, I've lived too long high on the hog, and I'm not going to do it. And the minute that I said that she knew that we were going to have to move into that shack, and I just really was hard to believe, but we did, and we stayed there for a long time, and I never wanted to move out of there because the nut was so small. We were only paying $60 a month, and we were able to put all the rest of the money into the gospel field. And a lot of people in my church and other churches can't figure that out. People are buying like thousands and millions of dollar buildings and things like that. But the greatest work that I know of that's been done on earth during my lifetime was done started out right there in that shack and in a narcotic dope den over on Carlos Avenue. The Lord opened the door there. One of the people in the church, before I was in the church, he was a dope salesperson, young man. And was in jail, and some of the people from this narcotic group then said if we helped him get out of jail, they would bring him over so that we could witness to him. And so that's the deal that Sue and I made with him. So we prayed, and he got out of jail, and so he came over, and he was saved, miraculously saved, and he was kind of the dope den leader. And he was able to talk those people into following our instructions. It was the Holy Spirit coupled with it. And we went out on the streets, all of them, to distribute literature in Hollywood. And out on the Sunset Strip, we became what the Antichrist said. We were a public nuisance. Now, all the skin flicks, they were not public nuisances. And Whiskey A Go-Go and all those places out there, they were not deemed public nuisances, but we were preaching the gospel and getting all those people off of narcotics and drugs. So it was a shameful thing because, like, we were out there on the streets and people, not for Sue, but for myself at first, but when I saw hippies getting saved, the people in the show business were not getting saved. The people that were supposed to be the elite or the high class, they weren't getting saved. They didn't want anything to do with the gospel. And the people in the churches didn't want to. We'd win all these souls, so we'd take it down there and say, can they go here? Oh, no, they're too dirty. They don't have their hair cut. And Susie told them, well, if that's all we need to get people's hair cut, all we need is a bunch of barbers then to convert people, right? I thought she was so funny, and she just, amazed me with her wisdom. And so I finally got to liking it out on the street because I could see all those hippies getting saved. But later on, a lot of them, the majority of them, turned on us and fell away, and they're back into the same things that they were doing before they got saved. All right, some they were doing something else. I trained them in business and stuff, and they're running their own companies now. And I guess they're doing well, I don't know. But at any rate, Jesus is saying, not my will. You know, I'll go through the shame, and I'll go through the torment, and the pain, and the suffering. Not my will, but your will be done. And Susie said, we don't have any money, we have to go door to door. You've spent everything you had on the gospel and people, and now, and you cannot work in the entertainment industry any longer, so let's go to the back door of supermarkets and ask the managers if they can donate some food, some day-old bread and things like that to the ministry. And so I did that, and I had these last pair of these real nice boots that I had, and had to tiptoe through, you know, old tomatoes that were on the back of the supermarkets and things like that, and ask them for, you know, we're doing the work for the Lord. All these souls are not coming in your store and stealing any longer. And they're being filled with the Holy Spirit, and we were just wondering if you had anything extra that we could feed them. And people would be nice, some of these stores, and we would give to them. Some of the major markets in Los Angeles, we did that. Verse 43, and there appeared an angel unto Jesus from heaven, strengthening him. Look at, why would they strengthen Jesus? Well, he would just tell them of all the hundreds of millions of souls that would be saved by the act that he's doing, and that no one would ever be able to be saved if he didn't go through it. You are the Son of God, and you know that what you have to do. And I'm sure you had a glimpse, you know, you can see a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. And being, verse 44, in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Verse 45, and when he rose up from prayer, and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Well, you know, when people are sorrowful, they want to sleep. You know, they want to, actually, a lot of people want to die. They just want to get out of this world where all this agony and pain and suffering and sorrow is. But that doesn't do any good when we're in pain and sorrow like that. We need to pray so we get some answers and find out. We know that this storm is not going to last forever. You've been through different storms before in your life. You've even been in rainstorms and hurricanes, tornadoes, different things like that. And the storm passes over in just a few minutes, and then everything is fine again. Well, that's the way it is walking in the Spirit. Verse 46. And Jesus said unto them, why sleep? Why do you people sleep? Rise and pray. Rise up and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Because he knew they're going to be tempted and they're going to fall away for a season. Verse 47, and while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the twelve disciples, shows that once saved, always saved is a lie out of the pit of hell being preached by many Baptist churches, some of them have repented and have believed the truth. They went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. This Judas wanted to kiss Jesus on the cheek. But Jesus, verse 48, was said unto him, Judas, did you betray thou me, the Son of Man, with a bacha, or a basse, a kiss? That's what he was doing. Verse 49. When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? Verse 50, and one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear, his right ear to be exact. Verse 51, and Jesus answered and said, suffered thus far. Suffer ye this far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Ears probably laying on the ground, so he picked it up and glued it back by faith into the man's head to where it was whole. Verse 52, then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, do you come out, or be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? Am I that dangerous to you? What have I ever done? Verse 53, when I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Well, Jesus. They knew that if they arrested him during the time when the multitudes of people were there, that it would have been very dangerous for them, because the multitudes probably would have killed him. Verse 54, then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. Oh, just full of faith. Verse 55, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. Verse 56, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. She'd like the general public. The general public see the Antichrist or the devil coming against Christians, especially Jesus and people that have Jesus in them. And they turn. They turn so easily to report. Like the Antichrist has turned everybody in the world into police to report horrible criminals like Christians, and they try to make it look like Christian, the Bible, is evil, and that those filthy demons are good. And that's what this is right here, verse 57. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. In other words, he denied Christ. Horrible criminals like Christians, and they try to make it look like Christian, the Bible, is evil, and that those filthy demons are good. And that's what this is right here, verse 57. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. In other words, he denied Christ, saying, woman, I know him not. Whoa, he didn't know Jesus? He's lying. And denying the one who created heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof, and the one that he was following and saw him raise the dead, cast out devils, and heal whole towns of people. I don't know this guy. Verse 58, and after a little while another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. Verse 59, and about the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with Jesus, for he is a Galilean. Verse 60, and Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock, the rooster, crowed. Just like Jesus said that it would happen. And you've heard these stories before, these truths of the Word of God. Verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Jesus looked upon Peter. I imagine raising his eyebrows. And Peter remembered the word, the prophecy of the Lord Jesus, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, the rooster crows, thou shalt deny me three times, thrice. Verse 62, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Oh my God, why did I do it? You told me I wouldn't. I did. Verse 63, the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him with their fists. Verse 64, their Gentile, hairy, red fist punched him. Verse 64, and when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? Verse 65, and many other things blasphemously they spake against Jesus. Verse 66, and as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into the council, saying, verse 67, art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, if I tell you, ye will not believe. Verse 68, and if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Verse 69, hereafter shall the Son of Man, Jesus says, sit on the right hand of the power of God. Verse 70, then said they all, art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, ye say that I am. Verse 71, and they said, what need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of this thing out of his own mouth. Okay, this is the end of chapter 22. Now this is chapter 23. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. Verse 2. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king. Verse 3. And Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And answered him, said, and Jesus answered him and said, thou sayest it, you're saying it. Verse 4. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in his in this man. Verse 5. And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. Verse 6. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. Verse 7. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. Verse 8. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Verse 9. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. Verse 10. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Verse 11. And Herod with his men of war set him at nothing as nothing, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. Verse 12. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together. Now change the page again. For before they were at enmity between themselves, but they got together to murder Jesus, and that made them friends. Verse 13. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, verse 14, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. Verse 15. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him, or by him. Verse 16. I will therefore chasten him and release him. Verse 17. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. Verse 18. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, or Barabbas. Verse 19. Who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Verse 20. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. Verse 21. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Verse 22. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil has he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chasten him and let him go. Verse 23. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. Verse 25. And he released unto them. See, these churches were the biggest enemy of Jesus. The chief priests had told the people that he was evil. Just like the large denominations today are the ones that are using the media to blaspheme the Holy Spirit that is living in Christians. And they are the evil ones. They're the ones rousing the crowd. Verse 25, and he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. Verse 26, and as they led him away, Jesus even said, those that deliver me unto you, the priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the religious people, they're more sinful than you are. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Verse 27. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. All right, this is a time that's up on this program before to read. Now we just read letters. Where's the first letter from?
From Rialto, California.
Okay, what do they have to say?
Dear Pastor Lomo, God bless you. You really socked it to them this morning, and that made me real happy. It's what the government is doing to the Mormons. Why don't they get after those Catholic pedophile priests?
That's what I say, yeah, that's what I said on the radio over and over again. Then what?
Why don't they get after those Catholic pedophile priests, kooks, locos, that, quote, Mahoney bishop, unquote, was thrown on the floor and kicked around here in Los Angeles by two men. Someone asked him if he wanted them to call the police, and he said no. He covers up for these lame brains, quote, holy fathers, unquote, hell fathers of the devil. I hope these Catholic people wake up. And can you imagine some of these ministers, Protestants of the Assemblies of God, are honoring and holding high this harlot Catholic Church and the priests?
Oh, the Assembly of God is not what it used to be. It's really a bad organization now. Then what?
Did you hear what John Hagee said about his brothers and mother, how he put down Christ? Prophetic News Alert, April 30th, 1988. In a shocking interview with Houston Chronicle, John Hagee said, quote, I believe that every Jewish person who lives in the light of the Torah, which is the Word of God, has a relationship with God and will come to redemption. I'm not trying to convert the Jewish people to the Christian faith.
Well, I am. I mean, the Lord says that they're his favorite people and he wants them converted. Why would Reverend, quote, Reverend, unquote, Hagee not want to convert Jews? Then what?
He said, quote, trying to convert Jews is a waste of time, unquote.
It is no waste of time. I've won many Jewish people to the Lord. They were living under the Old Covenant, and the Old Covenant is over with. It's now the New Covenant, the New Testament. They must receive Christ into their vessels before they can be saved. Then what?
Quote, the Jewish person who has his roots in Judaism is not going to convert to Christianity.
Oh, you're a liar, Hagee. You know that. And I want everybody to know that you're a liar. Why would they waste time listening to your phony preaching of the devil? Then what else?
There's no form of Christian evangelism that has failed so miserably as evangelizing the Jewish people.
No, we haven't failed miserably. It's just that you're not a good witness. And you apologize to the devil, you bad person. Okay, what else?
They already have a faith structure.
They have a faith structure, but not according to faith. Not according to true faith. They haven't accepted the Messiah. Then what?
Jews already have a covenant with God that has not been replaced by Christianity. Unquote.
Oh, okay. Well, is there a lot more of this?
Just about. Yes.
Our time is up. You're reading a little too slow. Okay, now we're going to finish that letter. That's a real good letter because it's really exposing Reverend Hagee. How anyone could be so stupid to go to that church is only that they're possibly naive because they don't read the Bible. But at any rate, now is the time to be saved. The only way that you're not going to be deceived by false preachers like this is to let Jesus with his Father, the Holy Spirit, enter into you, and therefore, and study the Word of God so that you'll be a workman approved by God, rightly dividing the Word. Of course, we must. The Bible states that the gospel is to the Jew first, and then to the Greek. The Lord, when he was here, didn't even preach the gospel to the Gentiles. He said, it's the Gentiles are dogs, he said. And this woman said, well, but the Gentiles, we dogs, are fed from the crumbs of the children's table, the Jews' table. How can this man be so wicked to say that? But at any rate, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus is the truth. And you can invite him into your heart with his Father, the Holy Spirit, by saying this prayer. Say it now. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that you, Father God, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Enter into my heart. Wash all my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. I believe that the Father raised you from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Enter into my heart, Lord Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, and wash all these filthy former sins away. You will not turn me away. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, that all that call upon you shall be saved. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now share and tell our listening audience how to receive a copy of this program, number 751. It's free. Please let us know whether you want a CD or an audio tape.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alano saying, tune in tomorrow for another powerful message from the Word of God, teaching you the straight and narrow way into the kingdom of heaven. You may have a deaf ear to this message, but that's to your own harm, not mine. Here we are with another recently recorded message, a song. It's called What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Jesus is my friend because he showed me that he existed. He showed me there was a heaven and a hell, and he delivered me from hell. He showed me the way, that he was the way, the truth, and the life. No one can take his place. What a friend we have in Jesus. Sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often pour.
everything, everything to God in prayer. Every trial and temptation, everybody now. Take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrows?